All right, Carol, the floor is yours.
Okay, thank you, Jim. And thank you, Bridget, for inviting me to speak tonight. Like I said before, this is my very first time on Zoom, participating on Zoom. So I'm very, very anxious and I'm going to be all over the place. So apologies in advance. Yes, I was asked to speak by a good friend of mine last night. And I always tend not to say no to AA. And it is a privilege for me to be here, sharing my story with you guys. So here goes where I started. Remembering even as a child is very difficult for me to remember a lot of things. But I did grow up as a single child, and my mother divorced my dad at a very I was very, very young. So she raised me by herself. And my dad, he died like about 12 years ago. This New Year's Eve will be 13 years. He died of cirrhosis. And that was mainly the main reason why my mother had to leave him, because he was an alcoholic. So I know I was told by my mother all my life that that alcoholism was running through my veins, that it was genetic, and it was hereditary, and my whole dad's side of the family were tends to be alcoholics. And my mother's side, very she's the youngest out of 12. My family was very religious. They were raised up as Christian Pentecostal. I do not follow religion. I as a as a as a as a child, I was never pushed upon the church, pushed upon religion or anything. My mother was, but when she came here from Costa Rica, that was pretty much it. Her mother was the one who was very church oriented and very religious. I had no clue what religion was. So I grew up with just, I would call myself like an agnostic. And that's something new to me as well. But again, as a child, I had a lot of traumatic experiences at an early age. My mother remarried. I was groomed and sexually abused since the age of 5 to like about 17 years old, by my stepdad. And nobody knew about it, and that was my secret, that I would take to the grave. And I started drinking at the age of 12. That was 11 or 12. That was he allowed it. He encouraged it. He enabled me to drink, to smoke cigarettes. And that was my life. I became a liar. A liar to my mother, a liar to my friends, a liar to the community, I lied to the school. I became a thief, I became a cheater, I became a manipulator. And then after being abused emotionally, physically, sexually, just mentally abusive, I became the abuser. And that was just normal to me. That was my revenge against the world, against the people that hurt me. And that was my life. That was my up to my teenage years. And I drank with I looked for the crowd of the troubled kids that had similar backgrounds, that had their homes turned upside down. They didn't have a life as well. And I navigated to those that group of friends, and they were my support system as I was to them. And graduation came along. Well, prior to that, I had already started going out to the bars, to the club scenes at the age of 16. I had a fake ID. I gravitated to the older guys. I was dating many guys at the same time. I was very promiscuous. I was lashing out at the world. And those were my really bad, all of my sexual behaviors just lashed out all at once in my teenage years. But I, in one of these episodes of clubbing, I met who became my husband. We dated for like about 7, 8 months prior to getting married. I was 18 years old. I was rebellious. I wanted to leave the house. My mother had a boyfriend. I grew up in Long Island, New York, to graduation, 12th grade. But my mother was moving into New Jersey with her boyfriend and demanded that I would go with her. And I could not. I was dating somebody. He was the love of my life, so I thought. And we decided to get married right away, right on graduation day. So I did everything pretty fast, but everything in order. I graduated. 2 hours later, I was getting married. A month later, I had my first, I was pregnant. I had my child. But within my pregnancy, that became an abusive, toxic relationship right away. Right away, as soon as I got married, I had seen the red flags, the signs, and I was still in denial. Again, all I wanted to do was leave the house, escape from my past, start fresh. 18 years old, I have a whole life ahead of me. I wanted to be a housewife. I wanted to be a mother. I wanted to do whatever it was, anything and everything than what it was. And that was my freedom. But then as I'm starting to realize that my husband at the time, at 2 months, he was an addict. He was not so much an alcoholic, never was. Yes, he drank, but never, that was never his drug of choice. It was either marijuana, cocaine, pills, whatever it was. He came from Puerto Rico at an early age too, and in Puerto Rico he was a heroin addict. Today he's a meth addict. Again, he's all over the place, but alcoholism was never his number one priority, as it was for me. And again, I dabbled a lot in marijuana, but nothing else, no other drug. It would put me paranoid. It would just be fun and games, but never my go-to. And so yeah, I'm pregnant. That's when the physical abuse, the emotional abuse, neglect of the house, abandonment. I'm pregnant, and I couldn't go back home to my mother. Running back home after I cursed her out. I left the house. It was pretty nasty. I couldn't run back home and say he's beating me. So I had to suck it up. I had to suck it up, and that was pretty much my whole life. Hold it in, suck it up, move on, be that badass bitch, and just keep on going. It happened, let it go, forget about it, bury it, suppress all those emotions, and make believe that nothing ever happened. And I gave birth to my daughter, and a month later, I was pregnant again. Now the relationship was even worse. I was with a baby, and I was pregnant at the same time. And it felt like I was a single mother. The abuse started more and more and more neglect. I raised my kids by myself. It was horrific, the situation. After that first time that he laid hands on me, I would throw up. Just I would throw my hands up. Come on, let's go fight. Let's go fight. And like I said, he was the one going to work with black and blue eyes, with bite marks, with scratches, with just bruises all over his face, because never again was he allowed to touch me without me being in shock or defending myself. I did it with my stepdad. I became that person, and no husband was going to touch me. No way. That was my thinking. Again, I stayed. We separated. I stayed and I stayed because I didn't want to be alone, because I was a single mother. Well, I was a mother, a young mother at 19, 20 years old, having two babies. And I never lived life. I never lived life. I never lived my wonderful teenage early 20s life, the go crazy, the party girl. No, I was stuck at home. I was stuck at home. And that lasted like about 2 years. I left him finally when my son had just turned a year, and probably like 2 months. I remember it was like around that Father's Day or something like that after he had turned a year. So, and that was it. I had already gone to Puerto Rico with him. We had tried it there. His parents manipulating me, his whole family being in a different country that I had no one. And then my mother's here, still supporting me. But again, I still lived in fear. I didn't want, I told you so's. I didn't want to hear any of that. But luckily, I got away from that. I'm still a single mother with no help at all. My kids today are 25 and 26 years old. I've had another father figure, well, not father figure, but I was in another relationship for 20 years. And that was toxic as well. And in between those two, those two major relationships in my life, my husband and this 20-year relationship, I had other men and I had other relationships, but never long-lasting or very toxic. Again, all the patterns show up in my history, all the emotional or the physical abuse or the manipulation, or it's like a doormat, but yet I have to fight through it. I keep on fighting and fighting my whole life and spinning in wheels and this vicious cycle. And as I'm doing all this, my drinking is progressing. I'm drinking just to forget. I'm drinking to get numb. I'm drinking to just to cope with my emotions. And I'm drinking just to survive all of this trauma. And my head is just spinning out of control. I was hopeless. I was hopeless and I was dead inside. And to the world, I was just a young mother, just trying. I looked happy in front of everybody. I had to hide it. I had to hide it. If I didn't hide it, I'd get my husband over here fist fighting with me, or my 20-year relationship telling me I'm an alcoholic my whole 20 years. And again, he wasn't an alcoholic. He was more of a pothead. And that was his addiction. And yes, he enabled me drinking, but that wasn't his drug of choice. I was the drinker. And with all that, emotional abuse from him calling me a drunk all this time, what set me off in my downward spiral was a huge fight that me and him had. I suffer from anxiety and depression and complex PTSD. And I just found that out 2 years ago, a little more than 2 years ago. And that was, I hit my emotional bottom. I hit my emotional bottom. I couldn't take it anymore. And what happened was COVID happened. I mean, I drank for 32 years of my life. And I came into AA when I was 43. I am 45 today. My whole life was drinking. Everything was surrounded by alcohol. Alcohol ruled me. It determined what I did, what I didn't, how much was available. It depended on alcohol my whole life. But COVID hit, and now I don't have to work. My daughter is in California in college. 8 years ago, she moved to California. I couldn't make her graduations. She's in the military. I couldn't make her commissioning ceremony. I was devastated. That was the beginning of the pandemic. She was graduating college across country, my first child actually going to college. And it was such a huge accomplishment. And for me not being there, that was horrific. It was devastating. I cried and cried and cried, but I drank and drank and drank. Nobody could tell me anything. I was home. I was collecting unemployment. Again, I was home drinking all day long. The only one working in my household was my son. He worked in the hospital. No, he I'm sorry. He worked in a supermarket that never shut down. He worked through the whole pandemic. Then he got another job at the hospital throughout the whole pandemic too. And it was terrifying. But nobody, and at that time, the first 6 weeks of the pandemic, when we got shut down in Jersey, my ex-boyfriend was staying here in my house. That was the longest, worst 6 weeks of my life. And I don't know how we didn't just kill each other. But again, he would be doing his own thing in one corner of the house. I would be upstairs or whatever. I hid alcohol in every single room of my house. I had bottles in the closets. I had bottles in every cabinet. I drank wine. I drank vodka. I drank gin. I drank whiskey. I drank it all. And by the time, I thought again, my anxiety was off the charts. And I even stopped drinking coffee because I thought, oh, I am so jittery. I am shaking all day long. And I stopped drinking coffee. And to substitute that, it would be more alcohol just to calm me down. That was my excuse. So that was the whole pandemic. I was drinking since morning, noon, and night. That was my liquid meals. Those were liquid calories all day long. And every time that I would have to go and throw these bottles out, I would have to like hide them from my son and hide them. I was getting deliveries. I was spending maybe like $800 a week on just alcohol. And prior to that, I would be able to go to all the liquor stores and different ones just to, so they wouldn't judge me. Plus, I would get my daily deliveries at home too. So I was spending a lot of money on alcohol throughout the pandemic. And again, I was collecting unemployment. My bills were on pause. My rent was subsidized and it was on pause as well. I could have saved all that money, but I didn't. I drank it all away. And now, at the end of the pandemic, when we all have to go back to work, that w my body was used to drinking in the morning. And it was the shakes were even more and more, it was more visible. It was more visible. My mother would always ask me, why are you shaking? Why are you shaking like that? And I would just blame it on like coffee and cigarettes or anxiety or whatever. I would just blame it on everything other than my withdrawals. And my son, who I live with, he started noticing too. So when I go back to work and I can't even do my simple tasks at work, the even simplest things. I'm sorry, I'm a chef, so I'm surrounded by alcohol. I've been a chef for like 25, 26 years already, and I'm surrounded by alcohol at my work environment everywhere. And I've trained my bartenders to bring me. They don't even have to ask. They just bring me all the alcohol, and that's how I do my job. But so yeah, going back to work, and I'm drinking in the morning. Forget the coffee cup. I was filling up my thermos, the bottles, the water bottles, the vitamin water bottles for all day. And I would be drinking at work during the day. I would be drinking red wine. So I didn't have to chill it. I can really hide it. I drink. And then on the events, on the job, I would drink whatever. It didn't matter. But again, I hid it. I hid it so well. I must have been eating like the lemon hulls when you have a cough drop, like a cough drop, the lemon hulls. I would go through like a pack of the big pack, the value pack. In like 2, 3 days, I was trying to mask it. Little did I know that everybody knew that I was drinking, but I was functional, and I thought I can just disguise it. And but they knew who I was. I would become that, what it says in the AA big book, that Jekyll and Hyde. That was me. That was me. I could turn up from 0 to 100 in seconds. If something went wrong, I would lose my shit. I would lose my cool, and I'm very aggressive. That's just my nature. That's what I was taught to be. That's what my brain told me I had to do, just fight, fight, fight my whole life. So that's, I thought I could fight this disease. I thought I could fight my alcoholism. I thought I can fight, I just need more willpower. I just need this. I just need that. This person got to, stop talking to me, stop fighting with me. Everything, I blamed everything and everyone other than alcohol. Alcohol was my savior. Alcohol was the only thing that would numb me and put me back at ease. So I blamed everybody else. I blamed the world. I hated everything. I was miserable. Again, I was hopeless. My life was doomed. So fast forward, I had a huge breakdown at work. I was in anxiety mode for like about a week. My anxiety became panic attack that lasted for more than a week. I was full on stuck on panic mode for more than a week, and I'm breaking down at work. I'm having a just complete meltdowns, and I am shaking. I am shaking, and there's not enough alcohol in the world to settle my nerves. I was just completely shit. I was on the floor crying, crying to my coworker for hours and hours, and he calmed me down. But yet, it still took me 5 hours. I work like maybe without traffic, my job is probably like half an hour away. And it took me 5 hours to come home that night. And I had to stop at every gas station. I had to stop at every little, I was inching my way home, just trying to keep my eyes open, just trying to not get caught drunk driving. And that was another thing. I was notorious for drunk driving all the time. If I wasn't drinking, I was blacking out. And I don't know how I would get home sometimes. But that night, I had my daughter looking for me. I had my mom looking for me. I had my son looking for me. Everyone's calling me. I'm sleeping at a gas station. I couldn't even drive home at this point. I took a nap there probably for like 2 hours. I don't know. Somebody came to knock on my window and I was scared, and I woke up and I just tried to go driving home, which took another 2 hours. But that was probably the worst one. And when I come home, I had already gone to the liquor store for the night. I had my bottles with me, and my mom and my son are waiting for me in my dining room inside. And I walk in holding all these bags of bottles, and they just look at me and they said, "This is ridiculous. We almost called the cops on you. We were worried to hell about you, and you're gonna kill yourself." Regardless, they wanted to take my bags and dump it. I said, "Don't you dare. Don't you dare. Don't you dare, because I will either leave the house right now, you'll never see me, or I'll throw you all out. Get out. Get out." And that's what happened. But then the following day, when I do go back to work, my mother had already called my boss, and my boss, I came in completely broken down. I was already drinking. I was crying my whole way to work. And I told him that I couldn't do this anymore. And he goes, "I know that you need some, you need type of help." And give me 1 second, sorry. He says, "You're useless. You're useless to me, and you need help." So he called up his friend, and who I had known for all these years. I just never really talked to him on that level, but I did know of him. He called me, and no, actually, my boss called him and says, "I have someone that needs help, that might have a drinking problem." And so I talked to him, and he qualified in like 15, 20 minutes, and he told me his whole life story over the phone, and I broke down. I completely broke down. And but for one one time it wasn't just family members or interventions or anything. It was an outsider looking in and telling me exactly what I was. And that was devastating to hear. He goes, "Let's go try and do a beginner's meeting tomorrow." And I said, "I have nothing else to lose. I was about to lose everything." So I said, "Sure, I will try." And so that night he goes, "Just try not to drink, and I'll talk to you tomorrow." And that's, I came home. Of course I did drink. I had to. I was shaking. I was anxiety. I was nervous. I was scared. I didn't know what my life was going to turn out to be. And but I did it. The following day I go to work. Again, I'm like completely anxious. And I went to my first meeting. He picked me up at my job. He took me. I was shaking. I had probably drank maybe like, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes before he picked me up. That was probably my last drink right there, before the meeting. And I was trembling. Like I said, I was shaking. So he held my hand. We're going to this basement. And again, I stopped at those stairs. I didn't know I could go in there. I was just so afraid. But he led me to this table, full of women, and he sat me down there. And then they all introduced themselves. They all came up to me. They were expecting me. I didn't know that. They all surrounded me. And that was the first time I introduced myself as an alcoholic ever in my life. I knew I was one. But I never said it to anybody. I contradict. I fought it. I fought it till the end until I couldn't anymore. And but that was the beginning of my journey. And all I kept hearing was all these people share their stories and how they got there, and then how hopeful they were, and how their lives were just so manageable and nice and peace. And I was like, what did I sign up myself for? I was like, no, this can't be, like, why did it take me 43 years? Well, why did it take me 32 years of drinking to find such a place that was so loving and non-judgmental? So again, I introduced myself. I was where I sat down. They had those pamphlets of AA where, the nights are promises and how it works and stuff. And I happened to sit in front of one of these pamphlets. And little did I know, well, somebody tapped me and on my shoulder, and they were like, "You have to read that." And I was like, "What are you talking about?" And the pamphlet said, "How it works." And so I had to read this, and he goes, "No, you have to read it out loud." And I'm like, "Oh shit." And so I tried, and I was breaking down at every sentence, all these words. I didn't know what the hell I was reading, but yet I'm breaking down. It took me the longest time, and everybody just kept saying, "It's okay. It's okay. We're here. Just keep going at your pace. Just do it." And I did. And then when the shares are going around and I'm the newcomer, and I shared on that, I broke down, but I shared why I was there, that I had hit my bottom finally, and that I needed help. And that was, again, the beginning of my journey. Me being honest, that one time changed my world. And I get emotional saying these things because I was told never write it down. Write down the last 24 hours before dedicating your life to AA. And I did. And that was my story. So I will never forget what those last 24 hours felt like ever in my life. And when I started this program, I've never done rehab. I never did detox, nothing. I did it all by myself. I withdrew for like that week and a half was death, death. And I did it all by myself. In that time, I had my primary doctor know everything that was going on. She referred me to a therapist. I started that same week with that therapist. No, sorry, I had to wait 2 weeks to get in touch with that therapist. That's why my boss says, no, you don't have any more time. You are dead right now. You don't have 2 weeks for that first therapy appointment. You need help today. That's what it was. So when I did get in touch with this therapist, we started. She's a drug and alcohol counselor. And I was honest, everything with her. When I started AA, it took me probably about, I want to say a little less than 2 months for me to get my first sponsor. And I did an intense step one with her. You know, where she had these worksheets, whatever, and she had me write down in each section how powerless and how unmanageable my life was. I never realized it, but it affected every single aspect of my life. Physically, I was throwing up for the past 2 years, bile every single day. My liver was hurting me. My liver enzymes were skyrocketed. My blood pressure was like 160 over 110. I don't know. It was everything was going wrong with me. My health was deteriorating before my eyes. And that's how I was living the past 2 years before me, prior coming to AAA. Those were my last 2 years. I was dying. I was walking dead. And I could not understand how I had gotten there, why, how fast this disease caught up to me. I thought I still had a few more years left in me of drinking, but that was my bottom. That was it. Something intervened that day, and I said, this is it. I can't do this anymore. So my journey has been amazing, but shitty at the same time. I never had that pink cloud that people talk of. My journey has been a roller coaster. I left my 20-year relationship right when I was like about 8 months sober. So that didn't last because after all those years trying to get me help, he was the less supportive one in my life. He did not understand what AA was. He was jealous of me going to the meetings. He was jealous of my recovery. Why? Because he lost the old Carol. Because I wasn't that anymore. Because I needed my recovery and I took my recovery very, very serious. I did my 90 and 90. I called my sponsor every single day. I did homework on every chapter. We sat and read together every weekend, but that didn't last. That didn't last. We outgrew each other. My sponsor was at a different level, going through her struggles, and I relied on her, and it was just time to end it. I wasn't getting enough out of my program with her. So I started. And needless to say, I did lean on my network right away. And I know Bridget's listening, but she was the first person I called when I dropped my sponsor. And she was the best help. I went straight to a meeting that night and I poured my heart and soul out. But I got through it and I didn't have to drink over it. And she was there for that support, and the meeting was there for the support, the fellowship of AA, the unity that I get from AA has saved me for the past 2 years, saved my ass. I will not go back to drinking. I cannot afford another drink. I know that a drink is not a reward anymore. My health is better today. I am taking care of my mental health today. I have a great network, so much love in these rooms that I am so grateful for. But this is my journey, and it has to be nice and steady and slow. I get that. I get anxious. I get mad. I get resentful at times. I get very unfocused, but I have to keep in mind that everything happens for a reason, and when it does, it's because it was meant to be. Like, it's not in my terms. I know that. But, that being said, I have gone through at least half of the steps. I am still on step six because of this. My second sponsor made me go all the way through the very beginning and redo my steps. But, just getting through that fourth step, which almost knocked me out. It almost got the best of me. That's step four. That step four was brutal, brutal. And my step five wasn't easier. I didn't get much relief from it. And now I'm still on step six, where all my character defects are coming out. They're glaring. So again, it's just, I gotta take it easy. I gotta remind myself that healing takes time. And when it happens, it happens. But today, I am sober. I'm grateful just to be alive. I try to be the better person. I try to be a good friend. I try to be a great mother. I try to be a decent daughter. Right now, that's a different story. That's another session. But just for today, I think I am in a good place. I can't rush the process. I got to trust the process. But I am so glad and grateful to be asked to speak here. And I think that's it. That's all I have. I mean, I could go on for another 3 hours, but let's not.